going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday. It's 5:01 now. I guess we can say evening. Taking you up until 7 o'clock. 2 hours left to hang out with you. Hope you all are doing well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Shout out to my guy Josh Hagedorn. He was holding it down behind the glass. He is getting up out of here. Now my guy Dom Chirosky in the building to hold it down. Appreciate his efforts as always. 404-726-0929. The phone lines are open. I will give you the question one more time, and then I will deliver a new piece of news that I think is pertinent to talk about. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on the particular topic about the prank phone call that Jax Ulbrich gave to Shedeur Sanders during the draft. Again, don't want to spend too much time on it, but there is a new piece of news that has come out from it. So part of my job is to deliver the news, so I will do that here in just a second. But the question I do want to ask you, and then I'm taking phone calls on, again, there is not really a whole lot to say about the Shedeur Sanders, Jax Ulbrich prank phone call after I deliver this last piece of news to you, that the latest piece of news that has come out about it. So again, if you have a pertinent question on it, then I will most likely answer it. But I don't want any crazy comments about it. This is not going to be a show where we bash Jax Ulbrich or, you know, even bash Jeff Ulbrich. It's not going to be that. So I'm gonna ask you this question about the Falcons defense, and we will talk about that. And if you decide that you want to say something about Jax or Jeff Ulbrich that is not adding or relevant to the conversation, you're going to have to get dropped, unfortunately. Again, this is not going to turn into one of those shows where there's a bashing or anything like that. Like, I do not want this to be that. So here's the question. What would you have graded the Falcons defense last season? What grade would you have given the Falcons defense last season? And based on what the Falcons have done in the draft this season, or based on what the Falcons have done in free agency and the draft so far this year, what grade would you give the Falcons defense going into this season? So what would you have graded the Falcons defense last year and after free agency and the draft? And undrafted free agent signings as well. What are you giving the Falcons? What grade are you giving the Falcons defense right now? 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. While we're letting you get on the phone lines here to talk about that, I will give you this latest piece of news on the Jax Ulbrich prank call. Again, Jax Ulbrich is the son of the Falcons defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, and he has come out. Jax has come out, and he has apologized for conducting that prank call against Shedeur Sanders. He has put out a statement. The Falcons have also put out a statement. I will read both statements to you and kind of reset and let you know what has happened. And then we are going to move on. Because, again, after I give you all this info, there's not going to be much more to say about it. Jax Holbrook said this. On Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake. Shedeur, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I can never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life. I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Thank you for accepting my call earlier today. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me at Shedeur Sanders. That is what, again, son of Jeff Olbrick, Falcons defensive coordinator, Jax Holbrook. That is a statement he put out earlier on Instagram. The Falcons have also released a statement. This is what the Falcons said in their statement. Quote, earlier in the week, Jax Holbrook, the 21-year-old son of defensive coordinator Jeff Holbrook, unintentionally came across the draft contact phone number for Shedeur Sanders off an open iPad while visiting his parents' home and wrote the number down to later conduct a prank call. Jeff Holbrook was unaware of the data exposure or any facets of the prank and was made aware of the above only after the fact. The Atlanta Falcons do not condone this behavior and send our sincere apologies to Shedeur Sanders and his family, who we have been in contact with to apologize to, as well as facilitate an apology directly from Jax to the Sanders family. We have also been in contact with the NFL and will continue to cooperate fully with any inquiries we may receive from the NFL league office. We are thoroughly reviewing all protocols and updating if necessary to prevent incident like this from happening again. Now, Adam Schefter obviously put a story out on this incident. And in his story, he says the Falcons are not going to take any action against Jeff Holbrook. So I know we talked about earlier there could possibly maybe be a fine against Jeff Holbrook or something like that. There's not going to be anything. The Falcons are not going to take any action against Jeff Holbrook. So Jeff Holbrook is not going to be punished. The Falcons have came out and made a statement. Jax Holbrook, the son of Jeff Holbrook, has come out and apologized. That's it. It's over. It's done. So there's not going to be a penalty. That's a question answered. The Falcons are not going to take any action against Jeff Holbrook, according to Adam Schefter. I would not think, in my personal opinion, I would not think and do not think the NFL is going to punish the Falcons organization in any way, shape, or form. So I don't think the Falcons will be punished. The Falcons have come out and said they're not going to take any action against Jeff Holbrook. Jax Holbrook has come out and apologized for what he did. That's it. It was a bad mistake by Jax Holbrook. And again, is it unfortunate? Yes. Is it a sore spot on what has been a great few days for the Falcons organization? Yes. It's a shame. They have had such a good draft, a draft that has galvanized the fan base, a draft that has gotten us excited, a draft that has made us feel good, and a draft that has gotten the attention of national pundits and national talking heads that, you know, they're talking about the Falcons either won the draft or improved their team the most with this draft. And so, you know, it's been great to get love from national reporters and national writers and national analysts. It's been great to hear the love from the fan base. All that's been great. And so for this to happen, like I said earlier, it is a gray cloud. It is a sore spot for sure. But he's a young kid that made a mistake, not condoning it. Just like the Falcons didn't condone it, I'm not condoning it either. He shouldn't have done it, obviously, but there's not much more to say about it. He shouldn't have did it. It was a mistake. He apologized for it. Bad idea. Bad prank call. You know, a funny ha-ha, you know, moment. Trying to be funny. Gone wrong, for sure, obviously. But at the end of the day, that's all there is to say about it. The Falcons, again, according to Adam Schefter, not going to punish Jeff Holbrook. I would hope, and I do not think, in my opinion, that the NFL is going to punish the Falcons in any way, shape, or form. It seems like they got, you know, when they found out about this, they were very cooperative, have come out and, you know, put everything out there on the table. And I would hope there's, after today, hopefully, or, you know, the next few days, this can just be over with and we can move on. And so with all that being said, I now want to move on. And again, get back to my question about the Falcons defense, because again, I want to get back to the positives about what this Falcons draft was. I want to get back to feeling good about what the Falcons did over these last few days in the NFL draft. So let's focus on that, shall we? So here's the question again, 404-726-0929. If you had to grade the Falcons defense last year, what grade do you give it? And based on how you feel about what the Falcons have drafted this year, who they've drafted this year, who they've acquired in the offseason, based on what you think this Falcons defense is capable of and what you think they're going to do in the upcoming season, how would you grade the Falcons defense going into this year? That is the question. The phone number is 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. Let's head out to my guy, Billy. Billy calling from Cartersville. Billy, what's going on, man? How you feeling this morning, brother?
I'm great, Professor. I'm here to actually answer your question. But first of all, I'd like to say the draft is over. Let's get the Shadur gossip out of there. Nip that. Now, as far as the Falcons last year, I gave them a C-. As far as the Falcons will be this year, with Troy Anderson returning and the Georgia boy and the Tennessee boy coming in there on defense, I think I'll give them a B, anticipating this year.
I like it.
And I think Raheem can work with those two new draftees. And if Anderson comes back, I think they'll be a B. They were C- last year. And that gives me nothing but anticipation of success.
I love it. I love it. Great call, Billy. Great call. Absolutely great call. Appreciate you calling up from Cartersville. And look, that's a guy that we haven't talked about a lot, and for rightfully so, because we've had all eyes on the draft and things of that nature. But when we talk about what this Falcons defense can be, that's a guy, at least for me, I don't know for you, but for me, that's a guy that kind of has fallen under the cracks, or fallen through the cracks, I should say, when you talk about a guy like Troy Anderson. So Billy brings up a good point when you talk about Troy Anderson adding him to the mix. If he can stay healthy, and you talk about a linebacking core of Troy Anderson, Caden Ellis, Divine Diablo, and Jeff Olbrich obviously has come out and said that he wants Jalen Walker to master the edge position more so than, you know, being a linebacker, and wants him to master edge because he can feel like he can be, you know, really, really good at edge. But you talk about a linebacking core, you know, if you depend on down the road what you want to do with Jalen Walker, I mean, that's, you're talking about, again, a very fast and physical defense that can fly around, and you feel good about, you know, one, making plays in the backfield, getting pressure on the quarterback, making plays in the run game in the backfield, being able to contain mobile quarterbacks, which is something we have struggled with over the last few seasons. So, I mean, you talk about the athletes that the Falcons now have on defense. I mean, it is something serious. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. Let's head out to South Fulton and talk to my guy, Chief.
What's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief?
Not much, Chief. We just out here chilling on a Sunday, man.
You know I'm calling. I told you. If I know you on, I'm calling.
I appreciate that, Chief.
I'm gonna give you my grades, and I'm going to give a grade for the NFL this weekend, too.
Okay, let me hear.
First of all, it had to be a D- last year for our defense. We only had a couple good things that going. We had a cornerback. We had one linebacker.
You're right.
And we had a safety. So those three things went okay. All right. Now, I'm expecting at least a B- up to a B- because of speed and being able to get to these running quarterbacks, these mobile quarterbacks. So
right.
I think it's going to be a big jump. I really think it's going to be a big jump to at least a B-, and that's playoffs right there.
Oh, yeah.
That should get you in the playoffs. Oh, yeah.
A B-minus would definitely get you in the playoffs, I think, for sure, Chief.
But the worst grade of the weekend has to be for the NFL. I'm giving you, all you owners, especially when you need a quarterback, you get an F. A big, fat zero. The way you did that kid this weekend, man. I don't care what nobody say. I thought it was collusion. You can't tell me. Look, I'm 55 years old. I was born in 1969, right after civil rights. You can't tell me something ain't fishy about that. I'm sorry. You can't tell me Dylan Gabriel was better than him, Cleveland, and then you go back and pick him up after you draft a quarterback. Hey, something ain't right. Something don't smell right. Mm. I'm telling you, Dylan, I was so upset at the whole thing we should do this weekend. because I just think the NFL would be ashamed of themselves. You taking something out because the kid is a little brash? I mean, and then the New York Giants, one more thing, the New York Giants, they let out this thing saying, oh, well, he didn't, he, you know, his interview wasn't this, and they was offended by some of the things he was saying and all of this. I wouldn't trust the Giants with a quarterback anyway. You've been 8-26 the last 2 years. 8-26 the last 2 years. So what do you know about a quarterback? All right, Dylan, have a good Sunday.
Yeah, appreciate it, Chief. Yeah, that's my guy, Chief, man. Shout out to Chief for calling up. Look, we can unpack that a little bit at the next game. We do have to move on because I do have a lot of other topics that I do want to get into. The Braves are in action right now. Down 3-0 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll see if they can get on the board. They got a caught a bad break in the first inning. So I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about the NBA playoffs as well. So here's the deal. Next segment, I'll try to go rapid fire on these callers. Get the callers that are on the line right now. Marquise, Orlando, Warren, John, Philip as well. We'll try to get to you on the other side and close out the conversation. We'll unpack why Shedeur Sanders fell as well, because that is something I do think we should talk about and will talk about for sure. And also talk about the Falcons defense and how much we think they're going to improve from last year to this year. All that coming up next, about 5 minutes from now here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday evening. Taking you up until 7 o'clock. Got a little over 90 minutes left with you. Still got a lot to get into. We've obviously talked a lot about the Falcons here in the first almost 90 minutes of this show, reacting to their what seems like to be a very, very successful 2025 draft class. Even a couple of undrafted free agents that they've signed. When you talk about Nick Nash and Kobe Bryant, Nick Nash, the big wide receiver out of San Jose State, and Kobe Bryant, the corner out of Kansas. I mean, it just seems like the Falcons have had an unreal draft. And I mean unreal in a good way. When you talk about, obviously, Jalen Walker falling to 15. Falcons doing what they got to do to snatch him up, but still going to get their guy in James Pierce, who they fell in love with, who they thought they were going to draft at 15. But when Jalen Walker was there, they said, hold up, wait a minute. Jalen Walker's too good. We can't pass him up. So they draft him. But then trade up Terry, does his thing, gets aggressive, and gets back in the first round, makes a trade with the Rams and drafts James Pierce with the 26th overall pick, and then trades up in the third round to get Xavier Watts, the ball hawking, also hit sticking safety out of Notre Dame. Then with pick 118 in the fourth round, gets Billy Bowman Jr., the versatile defensive back out of Oklahoma, play some safety, but going to be playing that nickel spot here in the ATL. And we talked to Joe Patrick earlier and talked about how he's going to provide some competition when you talk about D. Alford and Clark Phillips and any other guys that might be looking to have that nickel spot for the Falcons. Billy Bowman's going to have something to say about that. So you talk about them getting him with the fourth round and getting in the seventh round, going offensive tackle, and getting the big boy out of Wisconsin in Jack Nelson. I mean, it seems like to me it's been a pretty good draft for the Falcons. And you hear a lot of the national guys, Brian Baldinger, giving the Falcons some love, saying he thinks the Falcons were the most improved team coming out of the draft, or are the most improved team coming out of the draft. And Kirk Herbstreit said he loved what the Falcons did in the first round as well. So it's just been awesome to hear the Falcons get the national love, obviously, having Falcons fans all be on one accord and be in agreement on that this has been a great draft for the Falcons. And it brought me to the question, and here's where we're going to head back out to the phone lines and finish up this question and finish up this conversation. When you talk about the Falcons defense last year, obviously struggled. I think they ended up 31, not 32, but 31 in the league in sacks this past season. So obviously bottom of the league again when you talk about sacks. And when you talk about points per game, not very good. And, you know, just another Falcons defense that left a lot more to be desired. So when you talk about the Falcons defense last season, my question to you is, how would you grade the Falcons defense last season? A through F, obviously. And when you talk about what this Falcons defense is capable of this season, what you think it's capable of this season, how would you grade the Falcons defense for this upcoming 2025-26 season? So what grade would you give the Falcons defense last season? And based on what they've done in free agency, what they've done in the draft, how would you grade the Falcons defense going into this season? That is the question. This is the telephone number. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. Appreciate y'all hanging out. Let's head out to Phillip. Phillip, what's going on, man? How you doing this evening?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. What's on your mind, man? How you feeling about this Falcons defense heading into next season?
Okay, well, three things real quick.
Yes, sir.
As far as the I know you're going to get on that topic, Shedeur Sanders, I'll just say this. You know, hey, he got what he got what's coming to him. You can't go to a job interview thinking you King T. I'm an employer. And when you got 32 other teams that you're trying to bid for, and I know it's probably four of them, you got to come in there with some type of humility to secure the job. But if you're coming in there calling your own shots, guess what? You know, he might have been blackballed, but that's how the game rolls, whether it's in corporate America or sports or anything else. So, you know, hopefully he learned the lesson, you know, on how to conduct himself.
That's very fair. As far as
the other thing going with the Atlanta Falcons, I'm not accepting that kid apology, and I'll tell you why. Because the only reason he apologized is because he got caught. Other than that, you know, I think the only thing that might happen is the NFL might, you know, do a small little $100,000 fine on the Falcons for not securing, I guess, sensitive information. We've been there politically, just not securing sensitive information at the home place if you take it home. Other than that, you know, hopefully, you know, the story can just die down.
I'm with you.
And as far as the Falcons, I would have to go back 2 years ago. I give them a C. And the reason I'm giving them a C because 2 years ago, you know, they had a ball control type offense. And I told everybody last year that the defense was going to struggle because it's more wide open now with Cousins, you know, at the helm. So this year, you know, they did a good thing. They did draft, you know, two good guys in Walker and Pierce. Now, people trying to make them out to be LT and Reggie White. Let's pump the brakes. These are rookies here, so hopefully, you know, they can come in and I want the fan base not to torture these kids if they don't meet your expectation. They're rookies. Let them, they're going to struggle.
Yeah.
Let them find their way. It's good for depth. There's no doubt about that. The Falcons did get a lot better defensively. My only concern is that, remember, we saw this in 2016 and 17, when we had all the speed in the world, but we couldn't stop the run. So I know we got speed out on the edges and at the linebackers, but let's make sure we're securing, you know, the run defense, because that's always a big element in the monkey in the room.
Yeah, that is a great call, Phillip, and I appreciate the phone call, brother. And there's a couple of things I want to touch on from that phone call regarding the Atlanta Falcons. Number one, he makes a very good point about the run defense. Now, I think the difference that I would point out, I do think his concern about the run defense, I think it is very fair. The one thing I will point out is I think when you talk about guys like who they had in 2016 and Deion Jones and a couple of those guys in the run game and at the linebacker spot, those guys were a little bit lighter in the britches than I think guys that you have now. Divine Diablo, again, is he a smaller linebacker? Yes, but I think he is a guy that necessarily won't – he'll be able to get off blocks better than the Deion Jones, I think, was able to get off of. And we got to remember, too, Deion Jones while he did struggle in his later Falcons years, I mean, he was one of the best linebackers in the game, or one of the better linebackers in the game during his prime with the Falcons. So let's not forget that. But to his point, we did struggle in the run. So, and I think because we had, to Phillip's point, we had some of those guys that were a little bit lighter in the britches, and that's why we struggled. Those guys necessarily couldn't get off blocks and always couldn't keep contained. I don't think that necessarily be a problem with Jalen Walker, who is a little bit bigger when you talk about the guys in 2016 versus the guys we have now. James Pierce is a little bit lighter, but I don't necessarily think James Pierce is going to be a guy who's in on run defense. I think he is purely an edge rusher, and he is, at least at the start, we'll see how he maybe develops as a, you know, as a all-around defensive player and as all-around edge player, and if we'll see if he eventually gets in when we talk about run defense. But I think at least during his rookie year, he'll be a guy that's maybe just sort of in on passing downs or a longer down and distance situations. Now, he also makes a good point, Phillip does, about expectations. We are all very excited about James Pierce, Jalen Walker, and this entire Atlanta Falcons draft class. We do have to remember, to Phillip's point, that these guys are rookies. We cannot expect, at least. It'll be nice if this happens, but we can't expect them to come in and light the world on fire in season one. We can't expect them to both be in running for, you know, defensive rookie of the year, like how we saw Michael Harris and who else was in running for rookie of the year when in that same year, Michael Harris. It wasn't who was it? I can't remember the other guy that was in running. It was a pitcher. Who was it? I can't remember. I'll think of it in a second. It was Michael Harris, and then it was a Braves pitcher that were in line for rookie of the year. It's literally on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember.
Talking about Spencer Strider.
Spencer Strider, yes. How did I forget Spencer Strider? Anywho, we can't expect what happened with Michael Harris and Spencer Strider. I still can't believe I didn't remember that was Spencer Strider. Anywho, we can't expect from Jalen Walker and James Pierce what we got from Michael Harris and Spencer Strider when you talk about those guys being, you know, 1 and 2 for rookie of the year. We can't expect that for James Pierce and Jalen Walker for them to be 1 and 2 for defensive rookie of the year. We shouldn't have those expectations. It'll be great if it happens, but we shouldn't have those expectations. So to Phillip's point, I do agree with that. And with the whole Shedeur Sanders thing, just real quick, as far as just him falling, I see it both ways. Like, I'm not mad at Shedeur Sanders for being confident. I'm not mad at Shedeur Sanders for being confident in who he is. And, you know, I didn't hear every single thing said in his interviews that he did with the various NFL teams. I'm not going to act like I heard everything he said. So I don't want to say he was too cocky or too brash or anything like that, but I see it both ways to where, you know, where what Shedeur said could come off as maybe intimidating or maybe as red flaggish to some NFL teams or to maybe most NFL teams, you know, just comes off as nice confidence and being ready to go as others and swagger to others. So look, I can see it. I can see it both ways to where teams are maybe like, I don't know about Shedeur. He's smelling himself a little bit. To where, to other people, it's just like, no, he's just confident and comfortable with who he is. So, look, I'm not sure exactly why Shedeur fell. I'm not saying it was a collusion, but I'm also not saying it was. In a situation like that, it's tough to tell. I will say this. It does smell a little bit fishy as far as you draft Dillon Gabriel and then you go and draft Shedeur a little bit later too. Like I don't understand the thought process there from the Browns. So from that standpoint, does feel a little bit fishy to me. It's a very messy situation that has a lot of layers to it. So again, I didn't expect Shedeur Sanders to fall that far, and with him falling that far, I don't know. There could be something to it. It could be just a fact of, you know, maybe they thought there was a little bit of a character issue there, or maybe there was some collusion. I don't know. It's definitely a very sticky situation. All right. If I did not get to your phone calls, I do apologize. We do have to move on because I do want some other things I do want to get into. So my apologies to Marquise, Orlando, Warren, and John. I do want to move on here because we do have to talk a little bit about the Braves. I do want to talk about a little bit about the NBA playoffs as well. We will get into the draft a little bit later, so if you do want to call back later, I will accept your phone calls a little bit later on, but I do want to get into some other topics as well. One being the Atlanta Braves, and one guy we thought we were turning the page on is back with the team. We'll talk about it next here on Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday evening on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. With your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday evening. I hope you all are doing well. Hope you all have had a great weekend up to this point, whether it's been productive, relaxing and productive and relaxing, whatever it's been, I just hope it's been a good one for you. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. We will get back into the Atlanta Falcons. We will get back into talking about their 2025 draft class, some of the nice undrafted free agents they signed as well. And, you know, obviously there has been some news on the Falcons front today that cannot be ignored, as far as it has come out that son of Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, Jax Ulbrich, was the person that prank called Shedeur Sanders in a video that you might have seen on social media where he was impersonating Saints general manager Mickey Loomis. And again, there's not a ton to say on it. I will give you at least the facts here. The Falcons, according to Adam Schefter, are planning not to punish or take any action against Jeff Ulbrich. And hopefully there is no punishment coming towards the way of the Atlanta Falcons. That has not been obviously put out or necessarily reported on yet, but Jax Ulbrich has come out and put out a statement on his Instagram apologizing to Shedeur Sanders. The Falcons have come out with a statement talking about the situation. And again, you just hate that this has been a sore spot, a gray cloud, a black eye, if you will, over what has been a great last few days with the Atlanta Falcons as far as who they've drafted and who they've gotten as undrafted free agents. Like, it's just been a great last few days for Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the Atlanta Falcons, and the Falcons fan base being excited about who the Falcons have drafted and picked up. And so for this news to come out today, again, it feels like a caller described it as a gut punch. I think that's a good way to describe it. Another good way to describe it, I think, would be it kind of just takes the wind out of your sails if you're the Falcons and if you're a Falcons fan. So, again, just unfortunate. But, again, Jax Ulbrich, the son of Jeff Ulbrich, was the person who conducted the prank call. He has come out on his Instagram and apologized to Shedeur. The Falcons have released a statement. According to Adam Schefter, the Falcons are not going to take any action against Jeff Ulbrich, the Falcons defensive coordinator. And we'll see if there is any fine or anything like that given to the Atlanta Falcons. I hope not, but we shall see. They have been very cooperative, it seems like, with the NFL, it seems like, and they'll continue to do that. So hopefully there's no fine or anything like that for the Atlanta Falcons. If there is, I don't think it would be anything more than a fine. I don't think the Falcons have to worry about losing any more draft picks or anything like that. I don't think it'd be that serious. But if anything, I think there might be a fine. So hopefully that is it. And hopefully after a few days, we can, as Falcons fans, just move on from this situation. So hopefully that can be the case. And again, we will take calls on the Falcons defense because I did have a question earlier for you. And again, we'll open up the phone lines about this question again. How would you grade the Atlanta Falcons defense last year? And what grade would you give them based on how you feel like this Falcons defense can come together this upcoming season? What grade would you give the Atlanta Falcons going into this season? We'll open up the phone lines and let you answer that question here a little bit later on the show. But there are a few things I do want to get into before we get there. Again, hanging out with you until 7 o'clock. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Braves are in action, taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks, looking for a sweep of the Snakes out in Arizona. It's been a rough go of it, though, for the Braves right about now. They are down 4-1, and a couple of bad breaks have gone the Braves' way here in this game. Going back to early on in the game, the Braves had a chance to score. And however, though, there was – so I'll just go from the top for you. Austin Riley with two outs in the bottom, the top of the first inning, excuse me. In the top of the first, Austin Riley doubled to left. Alex Verdugo single to right. Austin Riley doubled to left. And then Alex Verdugo got to third. Marcell Ozuna fouled out to right field. Alex Verdugo gets thrown out at home. Looked like a close play. They did review it. The call did stand, so Alex Verdugo ends up getting thrown out at home on a what was supposed to be a sacrifice fly. It was a very close play, and then Matt Olson ends up striking out swinging. And so that's how the top of the first ended. The Braves try to get a potential run, but they couldn't after Verdugo was thrown out at home. Then Spencer Schwellenbach has struggled a little bit here today, just a little bit. Hasn't been his sharpest self, and has struggled a little bit, you know, the last few starts that he's been at, and it's been kind of the same story today. Again, hasn't been, you know, too terribly bad, but it's just struggled a little bit. Gave up a run in the first inning after Corbin Carroll tripled to center field. Perdomo got a ground out to second that allowed Carroll to score. He did get out of that, though, only giving up one run, and then settled in a little bit. But then the bottom of the second, Gurriel hit a sacrifice fly that allowed Suarez to score after Suarez started the inning with a walk. Then Thomas grounded into a fielder's choice. Suarez ended up being safe at first on a throwing error by Schwellenbach. And then there was another throwing error that allowed Suarez to be safe at third. Then the sacrifice fly happened, so that made it 2-0 in favor of the Diamondbacks. Fast forward to the bottom of the fourth inning. Schwellenbach gives up a double, and then there was an infield single. And then after that, another double that scored a run there. He was able to get out a little bit of a jam. That made it 3-0, and then he gives up a solo home run to Perdomo. That was the fourth run given up by Schwellenbach. The Braves, in between the third and the fourth run, did score as Eli White started off the top of the fifth inning by doubling to left, and then Eli White got to third on a pickoff error, and then Verdugo doubled to right. Eli White was able to score, so that made 3-1, but then Perdomo, right after that, again, hit the solo home run to right field off of Schwellenbach. That made it 4-1, and so that's where we stand now. But I will tell you this, the Braves are threatening. They have two runners on, nobody out in the top of the seventh inning, Nick Allen at the plate. So hopefully the Braves can at least cut into the lead, cut into the deficit here in the top of the seventh inning as they are going for the sweep again against the Arizona Diamondbacks after two really nice performances, two really good games for the Braves in the first two games of the series. And we'll talk about those games here in just a second. But I do want to bring something up here real quick as far as the Braves bats go. It has been nice to see these Braves bats really come alive, and different guys, it's been really reminiscent of the 2023 season where it seems like it's, you know, a different guy every night, at least one different guy every night that has stepped up, and, you know, guys that have stayed relatively hot through the course. Alex Verdugo today, for instance, is 3-for-3, so he's, you know, seems like he was on a little bit of a tear, cooled down maybe just a little bit, and he's getting back hot. Eli White continues to swing the bat fairly well. That's good to see. Austin Riley got another hit today. Marcell got a hit today as well, too, so far in this game. And we'll see if Nick Allen can get a big hit here in a big spot. So that was good to see. And then when you go back to the first two games of the series that the Braves won, 8 runs in both of the games. I mean, 8-2 in the first game of the series. It was one. For one, it was nice to see Chris Sale have a good outing. He goes 5 innings, only gives up 5 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, though. It was good to see him have a nice outing. Jesse Chavez was back on the mound for the Braves. He did give up a run, but it was still fun to see Jesse Chavez get back on the mound for the Braves. And speaking of which, there's a Brave who we thought we were turning the page on. He's back. We'll get to him in just a second. But the Braves, again, continue to keep the bats hot to start this series as they scored 8 runs in the first game. Saw just guys doing a good job hitting with runners in scoring position, going 6-for-13 with runners in scoring position. Alex Verdugo, 1-for-5, had an RBI. Austin Riley, 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Ozzie Albies, 1-for-5 with an RBI. That was big for him as he's, you know, struggled a little bit. Eli White, we just talked about him getting another hit today. He's been really good at the bottom of the order, towards the bottom of the order for the Braves, 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs in this first game of the series. Nick Allen had a hit in RBI in the first game of the series as well. And then in the crazy game that was yesterday's game, the Braves winning 8-7 in 10 innings after Matt Olson just stretching out as much as he could, getting that ball on the glove right before the runner got to first safely. Ended the game there. That was fun to see. But we saw Marcell Ozuna, the big bear, had a big fly. And then Sean Murphy hits a home run. And despite Suarez homering 4 freaking times against the Braves yesterday, the Braves were able to overcome it. Eli White, again, he's been hitting well. He homered last night. Ozzie Albies got another hit. So it's just been good to see all these different Braves getting in on the action from guys at the top of the order to guys towards the bottom of the order. It's just been so good to see the Braves offense pick back up and do what we know they're capable of doing, and that's putting up a crooked number any game, each and every game that they're out there. So it's been good to see the Braves really get back hot, and they won 6 of their last 7, and they actually jumped up in the NL East standings. They overtook the Nationals, I believe it was. So that was good to see, even though the Nationals did just beat the Mets, by the way. And I think that was an extra inning game. But either way it goes, the Braves did have cut that deficit down a little bit as far as today's game goes. It's now 4-2, still no outs, as Nick Allen did get an RBI single to cut the lead to 2, or cut the Diamondbacks lead to 2 and the Braves deficit to 2. So now it is 4-2, and the Braves still got nobody out and runners on first and second now with Alex Verdugo, again, who's been swinging a hot bat. He's at the plate. So this seems like a very good opportunity for the Braves to tie, maybe even take the lead here if they can keep this rally going. So good for the Braves, and hopefully they can get the sweep going, even though Spencer Schwellenbach has been struggling a little bit here today. Schwellenbach, 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them earned, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk, and then again, did give up the home run. So, again, hasn't been the best outing for Spencer Schwellenbach, but it's been good enough to keep the Braves in it, especially with the Braves, again, having some hot bats, and hopefully those bats continue to stay hot. We know they've done their best work in the 8th inning. And speaking of which, just real quick, I have a very interesting stat for you as far as the Braves' runs go in the 8th inning. While I'm pulling up that stat, in the meantime, Ian Anderson, that's the news I wanted to get to. He is back with the Braves as the Braves claimed him off waivers. So once again, as a guy that we thought we were turning the page on, didn't know if he was, you know, after he didn't make the Braves ball club coming out of spring training, he was out of options, so the Braves had to, you know, let him go. He went to the Angels. Well, the Angels designated him for assignment, and the Braves have claimed him off waivers. So just like that, Ian Anderson is back, and we'll see how he can contribute. He can at least for now be depth in the bullpen in the series against the Rockies, but it is we're going to have Ian Anderson back. So, I mean, I guess it's good that, you know, you were able to get a guy back who maybe can, again, show some life here after coming back from an injury. So we'll see. But One thing I did want to bring up real quick as far as the Braves go, there was an interesting stat about the Braves in eighth inning runs, and I want to try to pull it up here as we go to break. So the Braves, as far as eighth inning runs go, I don't think I can find it. I'll find it for you before we go to break. But what I can tell you is the Braves have more wins with six over the past 8 days than they had during the first 22 days of the season, where they had five wins in just the first 22 days of the season. They have more wins of the past 8 days than they had in the first 22 days of the season. So Braves are getting hot, and it's good to see. We'll give you an update on what the Braves did here in the top of the seventh inning against the Diamondbacks, and then we'll talk about the NBA playoffs as they have delivered this season as well. We'll get into that next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.